Hello, Bears fans, and welcome in to another edition of Bears on Tap. It's been a while since we've had the original Bears on Tap background as we're knee-deep into building the board project. I'm Ron Luce, joined by my usual co-host and the leader of the Building the Board project, Mr. Quentin Crisco. Q, buddy, free agency's, what, 3 days now in the books, roughly? How are you doing having to keep an eye on something other than just prospect tape so far?
To be honest, I find it easier to just shut it out. And then at the end of the day, you just go, oh, this happened. Okay. And not get caught up in the hysteria around it. You know, it's like I'm doing my day job. When I'm not doing that, I'm watching draft prospects. And then when I'm done with draft prospects, I'll look at what happened in free agency. I try not to get too caught up in all the hoopla with it, because it can be exhausting.
It sure can. And as one who has been caught up in it in the last couple of days, I will second that. It is exhausting because there's a lot of movement, man. And I'll tell you what, it feels like these first few days have been some of the most active in recent memory. I mean, it has been an absolute roller coaster over the last few days in terms of movement, guys going to new places, even some trades being made. I mean, it's been a busy offseason so far, as the new league year opened just yesterday. And we're here to recap some of the things that the Bears have done to this point. And Q, kind of to start this thing out here, like, what is your initial reaction, I guess, to what the Bears have done so far in free agency? Because I've seen a lot of opinions on the internet and I've formed my own as well, but I'm really curious to think what's going through your head too, because there's been some interesting pickups, but there's been a lot of head scratchers, I think, as well.
So today has calmed my nerves a lot with it. But prior to today, it was really just kind of like, you need a center, you need a receiver, you need an edge rusher, and you only got one free pick, assuming you're taking Caleb number one. You only got one free pick in the top 70 picks.
Yeah.
With those three needs. And it is like the math wasn't working. You know, so that was really stressing me out. Now that you sign a center, you can start to picture it where you can trade back from nine, you can get an edge rusher, and then assuming you get a top 50 pick with that trade back on top of the pick that you're using on the edge rusher, you can find the receiver there too. So that the picture's starting to come together more. Where it's like, okay, this feels like there's a picture here being painted. Yeah. But it's still like, I hate being pigeonholed into the picks. Because every team out there knows what you're doing with those picks, becomes a lot easier for them to say, oh, we just got to jump in front of them and we'll get our guy.
Yeah.
So I would still really like to see at least a receiver sign. Even aside from that fact, just for the depth, you don't want a rookie at wide receiver two and wide receiver three. You don't really want Tyler Scott at wide receiver three unless like there's something that he's really shown in offseason that we don't know about. Like that's the only way that you feel really comfortable with that. And even then, I question how comfortable you can be with it. So there's still work to be done, but today's news with the center really did help me feel better.
Yeah, and for all of those watching along, I think you guys can tell who set up the stream today because they finally have a center. That was Q's inner relief coming out in today's episode title.
Yeah.
But Q, I agree with you. I'm right there with you. Like coming into the off season, I think we all knew that receiver was going to be the biggest piece on the offensive side of the ball besides center. I think the Ryan Bates acquisition, a lot of people started to ask, like, okay, is he supposed to play center? Like, he has before. He's okay. But, like, what is this move? Obviously, we know that Ryan Poles loves Ryan Bates because he tried to get him 2 years ago when he first became the GM of the Chicago Bears. And ultimately,
I would argue that Ian Cunningham loves Ryan Bates.
Ooh.
Because he was signed as a UDFA by the Eagles.
Okay. So there's the tie. There's the tie. So regardless, the front office loves Mr. Yeah. Bates. And it really did feel like for a little bit after that trade was made, at least for a few days, like, oh, maybe Ryan Bates is going to be the starting center. Now with the acquisition made today for Shelton, you get a true center, a guy that has played center for, 34 games over the last 2 years. Like, this guy is a true center. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And you still sit here and go, well, they still need a receiver. And there was a lot of reports that they're going to add two receivers at least this offseason, whether that's a combination of the draft or in free agency. They've missed on some of the big names, obviously. Calvin Ridley goes to Tennessee. Curtis Samuel, literally just before we jump on this show, goes to Buffalo. So some of the top names are kind of coming off the market. But like you said, right, from a depth perspective, I think they do need to still focus on a receiver. And then maybe you can get that edge guy, especially if you trade back from 9 in the draft. Q, let's dive in. Let's just start it off where you want to, because I know you're excited about this one. I mean, you've delved into the tape. You're the offensive line tape watching guru here at OnTap Sportsnet. Tell me more about Mr. Shelton joining us as the new center for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, so I ran through like bits and pieces of 4 different games from him after I saw that they signed him. You know, I looked at 2 games from early in the season, a game from late in the season, a game from the middle of the season, and just, you know, watch some first quarter drives, watch some third quarter drives, tried to get a feel for the player. And let me tell you, I have never been so excited for a player who is just fine in my life. Like, don't get this misconstrued. Coleman Shelton is fine. He's not going to make any Pro Bowls anytime soon. But he's a hell of a lot better than anything we have seen at center in the last 3 years as Chicago Bears fans, which is just so nice to see after watching every single Cody Whitehair and Lucas Patrick snap this past season and grading them all and just being like, well, this is what center play is. And it was just very refreshing to turn on Coleman Shelton's tape and have my world just shocked of that was not what center play is. This is what adequate center play looks like. I mean, so really, first thing you notice, his athleticism pops off the tape. His relative athletic score coming in at 6.67. So not a crazy athlete, but I honestly would argue that his athleticism looks better on tape than it is in testing, because he can really move. This guy can get out in space. He can go hit poles, hit guys on screens. He was asked to do some really interesting screens for the Rams where it was like he was the one guy, like a wide receiver screen, asking him to get all the way from the center spot out wide to get a block for the guy, and he's the only guy pulling out there. You don't see a lot of guys doing that. So the center, the athleticism in his tape really pops off in that way and really makes him a strong fit for the outside zone scheme that they want to run as far as the run game goes. He was really a centerpiece of that for the Rams as far as his ability to get out in space. And not really, he's not an imposing run blocker. Like, he really struggles to grip and to latch and drive. That's not something that he does very well, but just to get in the way. A lot of these zone blocking schemes are just asking guys to get in the way more than anything. And that's something that he can do really well because of that speed that he offers. And part of why he struggles to latch, 31 7/8 inch long arms, short arms. So he has a hard time actually reaching the blocker, and he tends to lunge because of that, tends to just plow with his shoulder into blocks a lot, which isn't really what you want to see. But as long as you're staying effective with it, you can live with it, you know.
100%.
In pass protection, he uses really good leverage, quick hands, and a really strong grip to win there. He does a good enough job keeping his feet in front of defenders and shows some bend while he's latched, ability to, you know, take that power that is getting put in into his pads and arch it into his back and be able to keep moving his feet with it in front of the defender. He does a pretty good job of that. It's not, there are times where he just gets overpowered. He's like 297 pounds. He's undersized. He's going to get overpowered at times. but he does a really nice job of limiting that, I think, as far as you can ask for a guy who is undersized like that. And then, even though he's not an imposing run blocker, he does play with a finishing demeanor. He wants to knock people out, which is always nice to see from your center. And he calls all the protections for the Rams, from what I can tell, and seem to be a really strong communicator out there with that. It's hard to tell with a QB like Matt Stafford, who's exactly calling what, but he was always pointing, always talking, always, you know, giving signals, which makes me think he was the main guy calling the protections.
Yeah.
The one other concern I have a little bit of, he played between two monster truck sized offensive guards with the Rams, between Steve Avila and Kevin Dotson. And they really helped cover up his power deficit. A lot of times, you know, sometimes it might've just been a hand from one of those guys, but that still helps when those guys are that powerful blockers. That's still doing something. You have that in Tevin Jenkins. Nate Davis isn't the same power type guard as either of those guys or Tevin Jenkins. And Ryan Bates, I haven't watched enough tape of him to be sure, but I don't feel like he is that same type of imposing power blocker. So the right guard next to him, it'll be interesting to see how they play that, because you know Tevin will be able to give help when needed. I'm not sure how Nate Davis will be able to handle having to help towards the center.
Yeah, and that makes total sense. And I think what additionally is kind of funny about the Shelton acquisition is, like, this is the Lucas Patrick acquisition all over again, just higher quality, right? Like, he and Shane Waldron crossed paths in L.A. He had been out in Los Angeles long enough for those two to spend some time together. Like, he's coming in to be that guy that knows the system and at least can, you know, help translate that to the new guys. Like, this really is kind of the Patrick. But, like, to your point, Coleman Shelton is a fine player, but he's a true center. Like, this is a guy that is without a doubt a center. He's not a swing interior offensive lineman. Like, it's been a while since the Bears have had a real center. Like, even it dating matters. Back – It does. It absolutely matters. It absolutely matters. And, like, I think that's what some people might not understand, because, again, a lot of people just don't understand the offensive line position. It really is a thing. Like, unless you talk to people that are in football or you physically have played the position, like, you might not understand it. And that's not a bad thing, but it's just, it comes with some underwhelming, right, reactions to, like, oh, they got a center, big whoop. And it's like, no, this is awesome. Like, they have a real center. He knows how to call a protection. He knows how to, you know, communicate with his blockers. He is a guy that is truly built to run the zone scheme. Like you said, a lot of zone blocking is just getting in the way because your running back is the one that is setting up the holes for themselves in zone blocking more often than not. So this is a move that, like, I think as, like, Bears fans, we can be excited about. Because think about it, Q. When was the last time this team had a true real center? Roberto Garza? It's been a hot minute.
Man, like, I mean,
Cody Whitehair wasn't a true center.
Whitehair was a tackle who turned into a center, you know?
Right.
I mean, coming out of college.
Hronus Grisou was not
Grisou was the last center. True center, but he wasn't – he was never a good NFL player. Like you said, Garza was a converted guard. How long did Garza play for? Like, he Garza was here for a freshman, time. Right?
Yeah, Garza played a long time. Garza, if I remember correctly, Garza actually played center, I think, with the Falcons before he came to the Bears, moved to guard, and then went back to center once Kreutz retired. I believe that's how the structure went. Okay. But, like, that just goes to show, like, if we have to sit here and, like, wrap our heads around it, it's been a while. So, I'm right there with Dan
Mustafa, man. Was a center.
Don't even get me started on that. But to your point, Q, adequate center play is something Chicago Bears fans are not used to. And it's nice to see them get something like that with a guy like Coleman Shelton. Like you said, a little undersized. If you read his NFL.com page, it says he's 299 pounds. So he's just short of that 300 mark. 6'4", though. I mean, he's still got good size in that aspect. It's not like he's a little 6'1" guy running around just throwing his body in places.
If you go to my Twitter page, I put out a 6-minute video of just honestly pretty random plays. Like, I was just burning through tape and, like, this play, put this play in this, like, that were both strengths and weaknesses, and just, like, grabbing anything that was at all interesting, and I just crushed it all together in a random order. and put it on Twitter as fast as I could. But there's some good stuff in there, and it gives you a good idea of the football player that you're getting. So on my Twitter page, you can go find that video.
And a huge shout out again, if you're not following at Butkus Stats on the socials, I don't know what the hell you're doing. I tell you guys this every single episode. But nonetheless, Q, Bears weren't done there. Probably the most impactful signing, the most recent signing as well, in Coleman Shelton. But we can throw this back all the way to the beginning. Before free agency technically opened, Bears addressed their starting safety position, went out and got Kevin Byard. They also added another depth safety in Jonathan Owens, more famously known as Simone Biles' husband. I really like the Byard addition. Byard is a guy that, especially in his years in Tennessee, he was always a player I enjoyed watching, a true ball-hawking safety of sorts. That's just the game he plays and has always played in his career. And to get him for the dollar value and for the contract value that they were able to, because the Eagles released him ahead of free agency, he was able to sign before the tampering period. I think that was a great move by Ryan Poles to just address that position immediately and before free agency could even start. And then Owens is a nice depth safety. We've seen this Bears defense have to go through countless defensive backs. Having a guy that has 2 years of real playing time, was a 17 game starters last year in Houston, had over 100 tackles as a safety. And then last year was still an 80 plus tackle player with 11 starts under his belt with the Packers. It's nice to have that depth at the safety position. So Ryan Poles shores up the defensive backfield. Jalen Johnson obviously got re-signed and got his big extension. The DBs are ready to roll, Q, and they took care of it pretty quickly in free agency.
Yeah. So with Byard, I mean, you are basically getting a player who I think is very similar to Eddie Jackson pre-injury. Agreed. Because Eddie Jackson wasn't quite the same last year, as much as I hate to admit it. And he missed time with more injuries. And you'd hope that Byard has historically not really missed games. He is 30 now. I'm always a little nervous about defensive backs at 30 and over. You know, I just think of Antrell Roll. Remember when the Bears signed him? Like, the drop off can be steep and fast on these guys. But from everything I've heard about Byard's tape from last year, it's like, especially with Philly, it wasn't quite where they wanted it to be. But also, he was playing in a scheme that was different than what he was used to. And that when this, he'll be asked to do very similar stuff as he was doing in Tennessee. I think he's just kind of going to be the ball hawk back there, trying to, you know, jump routes, be instinctive, do what you do, because that's what Kevin Byard does. He's instinctive and he gets interceptions. And if he can continue to do that in Chicago and stay healthy, he'll be a good signing. It's just a question of him staying healthy. I think he has lost a bit of a step over the years, but he's such an instinctive player. I think that can make up for it just fine. Like, he's still going to be a solid player out there at the least, as long as he's healthy. And Jonathan Owens, it's not exciting, but you know what? It is a giant upgrade over Elijah Hicks. Like, it's very similar to the Coleman Shelton versus Lucas Patrick idea. Like, if you're a baseball fan, Matt Clapp said this to me earlier. For anyone out there who follows Matt, great follow on Twitter for Cubs and Bears stuff. But he said, yeah, it's like when you add a 2 WAR player in baseball to replace a negative WAR player. It's not that exciting, but it makes a huge difference.
It really does. That's a hell of an analogy as well. So big shout out to Matt Clapp for that one, because that puts it perfectly, right? Like, it's one thing to be watching your favorite team and just get used to below average play of whatever position the player is at. When you get a guy that's at least adequate, it makes all the world a difference. And Owens was a pain in the ass last year. I mean, the Bears saw him twice and they knew what he was capable of. And he's another, you know, very instinctive player. He's a hard hitter. You know, he's not afraid to get down and dirty in the run game. So, again, I like what the Bears did at safety, and I think it was a huge upgrade. But Q, soon after they took care of Kevin Byard, within minutes of the tampering period opening, we learned that the Bears got a new running back. And it wasn't Saquon Barkley. It wasn't any of the other big names like Josh Jacobs. No, instead, DeAndre Swift becomes the first running back off the board. Bears sign him. 3-year contract. It is very front loaded, so it could make him a cut candidate after 2 years, depending just how his tenure in Chicago goes. What do you think about DeAndre Swift? Because I've seen very polarizing opinions about this signing from people within Bears fandom as well as people outside kind of looking in.
So when it first broke, I tweeted out, feels like a overpay at a position that's not a major need. And he'll be explosive. He's explosive. As long as he stays on the field, he's gonna get yards. He's gonna do well enough out there, but he's not a workhorse. So you paid the guy like he's a three down back, it feels like, when he's not typically a three down back. And the thing that has really made me hesitate some, we saw this happen a year ago with Miles Sanders leaving Philly. Yep. That really good offensive line goes and gets a nice contract from Carolina and isn't the same player because the line is not the same and the usage is not the same. And Jalen Hurts isn't there to take a defender away anymore. I'm just weary of signing an Eagles running back after that because the same thing can happen here. Now, Swift was effective in Detroit before that. His issue was more about staying on the field and getting consistent usage than anything. So I am less worried because of that, because I know I have seen that productivity in Detroit, but I don't know. It feels like, so this is going to be, he's going to have to play a big role in the receiving game. It is really the way that this makes sense to me. You're paying him this much because he is a good receiver. It's not because he's a super explosive runner. He's going to get big runs, but he doesn't have great home run speed. You know, you look at his relative athletic score, 7.56. He ran a 4.48, but that was almost all long speed. Like, his 10-yard dash was average. 20-yard split was average to slightly above average. And his 40-yard dash was above average. So it was those last 20 yards of the 40-yard dash. He needs that. He picks up speed as he goes. So he needs to be, like, home run speed to be able to hit that breakaway level. Just, and a lot of times the NFL runs aren't like that. You know, you're cutting here, you're cutting there, and then you have to be able to hit top gear. So I don't think he's going to be the home run threat that like a Khalil Herbert is, because that's what Herbert has. You know, Herbert has that home run gear right away. So I think Herbert still has a real spot in this offense. It's just going to be a split back thing, which makes me question just the $8 million AAV, I think it was, for Swift. But you know what? At the end of the day, you added offensive talent, and that's something we've been begging for. Maybe this is Stockholm Syndrome, but it feels nice to just add offensive talent at the same time.
It does. I agree with you. I think where the front office justifies this move is in the receiving game, because we've seen Khalil Herbert struggle in the receiving game over the years. He has improved, like there's been improvement, but is still probably what most would consider a below average receiving back in today's NFL. Like you said, his reason for being on the roster is that home run speed. He's got that ability and that one cut ability, especially in a zone scheme. We've seen it, how the Bears run it. I mean, more often than not, he's getting those big runs when it comes off of, you know, inside-outside zone. Like, that's when he's really picking up yards. So I agree with you, right? Like, especially when you look around the rest of the league and you see what some of the other guys got, right, what Saquon got and what some of these other guys got. You sit here and you go, well, you know, it's a calculated risk that they're clearly taking, and there's something on paper that they like. I'm wondering if Ian Cunningham maybe had any insight, you know, kind of inside information from the Eagles because of his connection still there, and maybe was like, hey, how did you guys feel about Swift? Do you think he's going to translate to, you know, the scheme that we want to run with Shane Waldron? So hopefully there was a lot of research done, and inevitably there was, right? When you're dealing with millions of dollars, there has to be. But I agree with you. I think initially it was like, oh, cool, they added something. They were quick. They did something right away. As it's kind of marinated over the last few days, I think my excitement levels have dimmed a little bit. And I think all the reasons that you put together are perfect. But Q, a guy that I am actually a little excited about, and what he brings, I think, you and I did the tight end episode for Building the Board. We were talking about that, like, the Bears need a move tight end. Like, if they're going to add a guy, it's probably not going to be an inline guy. If he can play inline, great, but it's probably more of a move guy, and they did exactly that. Going out and getting Gerald Everett, was with the Rams for a bunch of years, another guy that crossed paths with Shane Waldron. Then he goes to the Chargers and now is a Bear. He's going to look really good.
He had a year in Seattle too, didn't he?
He might have.
I think he did. I could be mistaken on that, but I thought he did.
Even better. But again, a guy that is familiar with Waldron, knows the system. He is kind of more that U tight end that's going to move a little bit. I really like this signing. It's great value. I mean, it's what, 2 years, $12 million, $6 million a year for a guy who is going to complement Cole Kmet in this offense, I think is a great price to pay. I think he's an upgrade over Robert Tonyan from a year ago. And I mean, Q, are you as excited, especially for the value that they got with a guy like Everett, or are you a little more on the skeptical side?
Oh, I'm very excited about Everett. I think that he is, I mean, you watch the highlights that the Bears put out of him and count how many times he's the move guy, he's the trigger guy of saying this is man coverage, this is zone coverage, of getting the defense to show their hand and then making them pay with Everett for showing their hand. He's really strong red zone threat. He's a nightmare for linebackers cover, because he runs a 4.6. Relative athletic score, he's about as good as it gets. He's a 8.98 here. Elite speed, elite explosion, good agility, very poor size. You don't want this guy in line blocking. That's not what he's here for. He's here to move around the formation, be used as a weapon, and it's something that he's consistently done throughout his career. I mean, 20 touchdowns in what, 3, 4, 5 in 7 years, 3 last year, 5 the year before, 4 the year before on limited usage. Cause you got to remember, he's not an every down football player. I really like this addition. I think this is going to really make their tight end room a lot more dangerous. And really this is about as good of a U tight end as you find in the league before you get to guys who are every down players like Travis Kelce.
Yeah, I completely agree. Everett, a guy who, even if you want to look at this and take the spin from a fantasy perspective, has been a guy that has been super relevant at the tight end position over the last few years. So I agree with you there, Q. I think he's the perfect guy for them to bring in. Q, the last two moves that we have on the docket here, that admittedly, I think you and I both agree, we just don't have as much information on these guys, but they're nice depth additions. The first one being on the offensive side of the ball, Matt Pryor. Crossed paths with Matt Eberflus in Indianapolis back in 2021, then spent some time with the San Francisco 49ers most recently. He's very much a backup. He's very much depth. He can play both guard and tackle, so having that swing ability is super useful. But again, low risk, one-year deal. Worst case scenario, he sits on your bench all year and he's there as an insurance policy. And again, I think the familiarity is always a bonus. So I don't hate the Matt Pryor edition, again, especially for a low dollar value. But Q, a guy that, have you gotten to dive into any film on him yet, or is he still very much an unknown to you as well?
His film's so limited. I mean, I'm probably not going to dive in too much on it, because you got to go. I mean, I guess he played a fair amount in Indy and even in Philly. Excuse me. Even in Philly, because, again, this is an Ian Cunningham guy. He was drafted by the Eagles in the sixth round in 2019. But I don't know how much I'll dive in on, because he's going to be a swing guy, but I'm assuming he's a higher athletic score guy. I tried to pull it up, and that was that, if you heard the noise, it was an ad playing on the relative athletic score site. So I closed it. But anyways, if he's a high relative athletic score guy and a guy who's as versatile, I mean, you look at his career snaps, 426 snaps at left tackle, 58 at left guard, 814 at right guard, 659 at right tackle. This guy's a swing for every position except for center. And that's just always a guy that I want on my team. A guy who can offer four position versatility and be athletic at the same time. I mean, he was in San Fran, so he's got to be athletic. San Fran has pretty strict rules about the offensive linemen they want, athletic and versatile. And that's what this guy is, and he fits it to a T. I almost wonder what's going to happen to Larry Borum with this guy on the roster. I don't know if you hold two swing tackles on your roster. But
that's a good point.
I think he's going to be fine in a swing tackle role. Like you said, he's started in this league, never been like a good starter, but that's why he's a swing.
That's why he's a guy that, again, you bring in for depth. He's a low risk move. And again, anytime you have a guy that's familiar with the system, that always helps. Now, Q, by far, first team all name team. Amen. Agbonbamiga.
Agbonbamiga.
He is a beauty of a name guy, but comes from the Chargers, a special teams ace of sorts. So now you got two guys like that on the roster, with Travis Homer being the other one. Obviously, Travis Homer now bringing a lot of value, having spent time with Waldron in Seattle. So he's not just a special teams guy at the running back position, but Agbonbamiga very much is that kind of guy. That's where he's going to bring his most value. He can, again, bring you some depth at the linebacker position. And I'll tell you what, Q, call me old-fashioned. Maybe it's because where I played in college, that special teams actually meant something. Like, I like a guy that can come in and be a special teams ace. You need that guy every once in a while. Special teams can win you ball games. Even at the NFL level. Like, yes, the quarterback wins you games. You need turnovers from a defense. That's all fine and dandy. But, like, there are some earth-shattering plays that can occur on special teams that will change the course of a game and ultimately could change the course of a season. So I'm a fan of the move. Again, just a short-term deal for a guy like him. And we all know Matt Eberflus loves his linebacker, so he gets to add some depth at that position as well.
Yeah, I mean, so this is a guy who's played two defensive snaps in his career, in his three-year career. But he's played 950 special team snaps, core four special teamer. He's out there in every unit. Interestingly, he doesn't have that many tackles on special teams, though. Special team tackles, he has 8 in his three-year career. So that's just interesting. Something to note, I guess. I feel like he would have more, but I don't know. Anyways, great name. The only thing I could think of when they signed him was, oh, yay, another linebacker.
It really does feel that way. And I think that's
6-7 on the roster now. Like, just give us all the linebackers. That's what we need.
All the linebackers, indeed. Yeah, it's, again, a very depth signing, a special teams guy by far, but a signing that I think kind of helps highlight, though, Q, how this free agency has gone for the Bears. They haven't gone and spent the huge money on anybody. Jalen Johnson was the big fish, right, that you spent the big money on, in theory. There have been no, you know, Lloyd Cushenberry signings. There have been no Calvin Ridley-level signings, right? Like, the big money is going elsewhere so far in this free agency. Q, there's still plenty of time left in free agency. Obviously, this is going to drag out for a while. Even probably into next week, there will be still guys signing. Where do you see the Bears going with the rest of free agency? And what is that one position that you're like, hey, get somebody there because they need the depth at that position? Where do you think the Bears are going from here on out now with free agency, now that things are starting to slow down a little bit and become more like traditional free agency?
You got to sign a wide receiver. You need one. I mean, right now your receiver room is DJ Moore, who's awesome, and then Tyler Scott, who's a big question mark at this point. Velus Jones, who, you know, I'm not even sure he's going to be active on game days. So you need a guy there. And then Nasimba Webster, who hasn't really played any offensive snaps under this staff. He's really just a punt return guy. So you need to sign a wide receiver. I'm not even sure. Do you have it pulled up what receivers are even still available? Hasn't signed, I don't think. But you need someone there. I mean, you can draft two wide receivers, but you still don't have enough wide receivers.
Yeah, indeed. I agree with you there. I think receiver is certainly a position. Another position that I kind of want to see them add at Q is on the defensive line. And even if it's just for depth, I know they were mentioned to be in potentially getting the cap from, his name is literally escaping me, even though I just looked at it like 20 minutes. Is it Wanham?
Oh, DJ Wonnum, he signed with Carolina today.
He did. They didn't let him out of the building. He was supposed to visit with the Bears, though. Would have been a beautiful addition, in my opinion. Like, I think that would have been great. You could add another, you know, edge guy in the draft, and you go for it, and you can go from there, and I think that would have been fantastic. But you lose out on him, so now you kind of look around, and you're like, all right, well, what are they going to do there at that position? But I agree with you from a receiving standpoint, and unfortunately, Q, this wide receiving market is just – it's bare bones right now. I mean, Mike Williams, by far the best receiver after being released by the Chargers. He was able to help them get under the cap. And then obviously the restructurings of Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack helped them further create some more cap space. But once you get past him, it's pretty barren. I mean, Odell Beckham Jr., Tyler Boyd is still a free agent. And to me, that screams Chicago Bears, at least for me. And I don't know how you feel about that.
I mean,
but another guy.
But I mean, for the right price, I'd like to add Boyd. You know, I think he'd make sense.
I think a guy who that could be really interesting, who I think has flown a little bit under the radar because he had a little bit of an underwhelming season last year. And really in the last 2 years, I think a lot of that was just coaching changes and system changes and things like that. But like Hunter Renfro is a free agent. It could be an interesting guy that, again, you can take a flyer on. You can probably get him on a 2-year deal. You structure it in a way where it's effectively a 1-year deal and he's an easy cut next year to save cap space. Yeah. Like, I think that's another type of guy too that would be a lot of fun as well to bring in.
I'm definitely interested in Renfro. I'd need to get comfortable with it. I'd need to look at the tape to see because he had a bad injury and he hasn't put up good numbers since last year. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much of it was the injury that he suffered versus the coaching. The coaching definitely didn't help. And there was no quarterback in Vegas worth talking about, but I'd need to look at the tape to see, is he still moving the same way he did before the injury?
Yeah. I think that's a concern as well. Another guy that I think could be an interesting addition also is DJ Chark, who is still on the market. Again, probably profiles as your third receiver at that point, then if that's the case, but there's still some depth out there. It's not totally barren. If I'm a betting man, Tyler Boyd's a Bear. Like, I just, for some reason, that one screams Chicago Bears to me.
Yeah, that's the guy that makes the most sense to me out there. But also, I've seen that the Steelers are close to signing him, or like there was another team I think involved. And I don't know, like he makes the most sense to me, but it doesn't seem like it's lining up based on what's being said.
Yeah, it feels like it's been that way a lot with the Bears. This free agency is like a report comes out. Oh, the Bears aren't involved in this at all. And, you know, people were hoping for that. I think Curtis Samuel was a perfect example of that. A lot of people were clamoring for the Bears to go get him. And obviously now he's venturing
Buffalo Bills. That was a gut punch to hear that he got signed. Because that was the guy who I was kind of banking on, that like the Bears need to be involved with this guy. Because if you don't get him, I'm not really sure who you're getting. And
yeah.
It's hitting that point where it's like, you're talking about DJ Chark. It's like, oh man, that's a nightmare to be talking about at this point as your wide receiver three, you know? I mean, and nothing against DJ Chark, but you don't want to rely on that guy to stay healthy either based on what he's done in his career.
Exactly. Well put. And we cannot ruin the fact that he's going to play for another big cat team because that's all he's done in his entire career. He's been a Lion. He's been a Jaguar and he's been a Panther. He has to keep that trend going. Granted, he's kind of running out of teams, but he's got to keep that going, Q.
Yeah. Who else is there? I mean,
it's a good question. I don't think there are anymore.
Yeah, I think those are the three cat teams, right?
I think those are the three cat teams. I can't think of anybody else.
I mean, a giant could technically be a cat. Giant cat.
I guess it could. I mean, we could make it funny and like he becomes a Bear and then it's all the animals, right? Like it's you know, Chargers or anything like that. Is like, well, even though I guess the Chargers are technically a horse, but I don't know. I agree with you, man. Like I think Curtis Samuel was the one I was banking on too from the receiving position. And I didn't think they were going to be in the Ridley sweepstakes. So I wasn't surprised when he went elsewhere. It's just, you got to hope that they do something. Again, I would really like to see them add some D-line depth. I think there's still some pretty decent options out on the market right now as well. Guys that immediately come to mind. I mean, if you wanted for a 1-year deal, it feels very unique and Ngakwe-ish, but Jadeveon Clowney is still available. He could come in as an edge guy. Chase Young is available. I don't know if the Bears want to kick the tires on that road and reunite him with Montez Sweat on the defensive line. Calais Campbell, it could be an option. Obviously, in the Bears system, he's probably profiles more as a three technique than he does an edge guy by all means. And even, I mean, Mike Dana is an option as well. But again,
I think Mike Dana could make sense. I think he kind of flew under the radar next to Chris Jones, but he had a nice year in Kansas City. I mean, he's not a traditional edge. He's more like a DeMarcus Robinson type of football player, but he's a guy who could, you know, he could at least give you some depth and put up hopefully a few numbers for you. But you're at the, you know, you're scraping the bottom of the barrel at this point. You're not talking about reliable starters. You're talking about guys who are more role players or less reliable to stay on the field, or like, I mean, Clowney will stay on the field for you. He's going to cost an arm and a leg for 1 year, but he's a mercenary at that point. And who knows if he even wants to leave Cleveland, because he got to play next to the best edge rusher in the NFL last season, which makes his life a lot easier. I guess, was he in Cleveland last year? Or was he in Baltimore?
He's a year removed. He was in Baltimore. He was in Baltimore last year.
So maybe he wants, you know, feels a lot better about chasing a ring in Baltimore. Who knows? I mean, but I think Clowney would be the guy if you can are still willing to pay someone real money to come in here. If not, I think to Scott from Iowa mentioning here that Washington's getting more draft capital to trade with the Bears. If they're sending Scary Terry for number 9 along with a late first round pick that they're acquiring somehow, I'm all for it, man. Because then you get Scary Terry, you get your edge rusher at that later pick. Boom, let's go.
I like that manipulation. Sorry, Scott. I know you were trying to insinuate something else with the comment, but Q took it and flipped it on its head for you. So, Q, I mean, I feel like that's where we're at now with this Bears free agency, and this is kind of my final thought. I want to give it back to you then as well. But they've addressed some positions. It hasn't been anything that are big hitters, which I feel like further kind of tease up the NFL draft to be like, that's where they're going to add their difference makers to this team. Now, whether that's at receiver, whether that's obviously potentially a quarterback with Caleb Williams, whether that's an edge rusher, potentially if they were to trade back from say like a number 9 pick, which you so aptly proposed in your mock draft that came out at ontapsportsite.com, encouraging everybody to go look at that. Ironically, you and Steve had varied trades from the number 9, which was kind of funny, but again, go read both of those on TabSportsNet.com. Bears section, you can go to the NFL draft search as well, and you'll find them there. But Q, it feels like they've done their what they're doing in free agency. They might continue to add some of these depth pieces, you know, guys on 1 year deals that are really cheap to come in and just kind of fill, you know, some depth holes at this point. Otherwise, I think really now we as Bears fans can sit here and go, okay, the next thing on the calendar is the NFL draft, and that's when all hell is going to break loose with the Bears having 1 and the Bears having number 9, and obviously probably in Ryan Poles fashion are going to try and acquire additional capital in this year's draft.
Yeah, I mean, so I think one avenue that you need to explore, and I don't know what type of values you're talking here for a Josh Sweat from Philadelphia, edge rusher, what type of market that he has in a trade right now, but I think you need to at least call them and find out, you know, you send Justin Fields to Philadelphia plus a 4th round pick. Can you get Sweat and a 6th round pick back? Because that's kind of the territory that I think you need to start exploring now because of how barren the market is for defensive linemen and what your needs still are. Because at that point, if you can add Josh Sweat in that deal, you can trade down from 9, pick up draft capital, so you're not left with 4 picks total, and still have your edge rusher, still get a wide receiver at that 9 spot, whether that be that, you know, like a AD Mitchell out of Texas at somewhere in the teens, maybe. Like, I think that would make a lot of sense. And I think I'd like how that aligns this team going forward still. But that's entirely dependent on, you know, what is the trade value required for Josh Sweat to get him.
Yeah, I mean, it would be really nice to see the Sweats on the outside rushing the passer with the Bears
coming after
the sweaty Bears. Yeah, it would. I mean, it would look good having those guys, you know, to complement the likes of, you know, Jervon Dexter and Pickens and some of those guys then too on the inside. Couple things, Q, quickly that I don't think we totally mentioned, and just kind of to at least bring light to them. The Bears did lose a D tackle. Justin Jones is going to Arizona, 3-year deal. He gets a nice payday, $10 million a year from the Cardinals. So good for him. In addition, Darnell Mooney goes to the Atlanta Falcons to be their number two receiver behind Drake London. And then today it was revealed in the press conference that Kirk Cousins recruited Darnell Mooney to Atlanta. So he got to see a lot of them. He knew what he could do. And I think he's going to do great, but he gets a nice contract as well.
He's going to eat in that offense.
Oh, he's going to be so good.
Like with Kirk distributing the football, Drake London across from him and Rondell Moore and Bijan and Kyle Pitts, like, Mooney's going to eat there.
Yeah. So good for him. And he gets almost $40 million out of it over 3 years. So well-deserved for Darnell. I think it was just a case where things just went awry with the Bears over the last couple of years. He's shown what he can do. He was a 1,000-yard receiver in his second year. So it'll be interesting to see what the Bears do to replace. I agree, Q. I think looking into the Sweat trade is certainly a possibility for this team. Probably trading down from 9 becomes more and more of the possibility. I'm banking so freaking hard that nobody in the top 8 wants to move off their pick so the Bears can trade 9 for whoever wants JJ McCarthy. Like that's what I'm mentally hoping for right now. I don't know if that's what's going to happen, but then they could probably get a pretty good haul for the number 9 pick, pick up some picks in this year's draft, get a receiver, as you noted, in probably that high second round range, or even the, you know, late first if they're able to move back that far. And try and run it and see what happens and continue to build around the presumed number one pick in Caleb Williams for the future. Q, I have nothing left to say about free agency other than it's kind of at the point now where the attention turns to the draft. Do you have anything else to add?
Just that I'd like to see them add a D tackle somewhere, whether it be draft or free agency. Because right now, you know, your Billings, your Dexter, your Pickens, and that's really it for a rotation that wants to run 4 to 5 deep. I mean, Robinson will take some snaps at 3 tech, but I'd like to see them get someone who can play both the 3 tech and the nose better than Zach Pickens, because Zach Pickens should be your backup 3 tech. He shouldn't be being asked to play the nose as often as he has, because it's just it's degrading to his skill set. His skill set is for a 3 tech spot. He should be doing that. So getting a guy, I'm not even sure who's available in free agency. I know there were rumors about the Bears going after DJ Reader. I never bought into that because Reader and Billings on the same roster at what they'll be paid doesn't make a lot of sense. But adding a someone who can not be like Billings, but be close enough to Billings while still being able to play 3 tech so you can rotate them. Like Mason Smith is a guy in the draft I really like for that. Same with Dwayne Carter at Duke. Those two guys I think are really strong fits for being able to jump in that nose tackle role, but also shadow 3 tech.
Yeah, indeed. I would like to see them add a D tackle as well. Unfortunately, the defensive linemen remaining out there are kind of few and far between. I feel like D tackles have really gone fast in this year's free agency. It's been a popular position for teams to, you know, kind of swoop guys up. So we'll see if they're able to add anybody late or even another end potentially, you know, again, kind of like a Dana guy, somebody like that, that at least you can add to the fold and potentially continue to build depth on the defensive line. Q, this is the plug time. We're getting to the next phase of building the board. Yeah. And it's we're going to get into the fun shit now. And I think the people that are watching along with us today need to know what's on the horizon and what they can look forward to. So I'm going to give the floor to you, my friend.
Yeah. So this next week, we are actually taking the week off from a podcast standpoint. It has been sprinting a marathon to get every position done, 2 positions a week, and we have done it. So we're taking a little break from podcasting for a week, but then the next week after that, we'll be bringing you an episode where as many of our scouts as we can get on one episode, we're all going to be on it, and we are going to be talking through the board. Like, so right now, our board is math-based, right? It's just based on the grades that we've all given players and consolidated into an average that ranks, you know, 1 through 140. I think is what we've got right now. And our final board is only going to be 100, but you know, you got to watch 150 players to find the top 100 type thing. So what we'll be doing on this episode is we'll be talking through, like, this guy's at number six. Do we think that's right? Do we want to move this guy ahead of him, this guy behind him? So it'll be more strategic than just numbers. Cause like right now we have two linebackers in our top 50. Bears aren't going to have a linebacker in their top 50, right? Like, that doesn't make sense. They wouldn't, they're not taking Peyton Wilson in the second round. That he's not even going to be on their board because they don't need a linebacker at all, which is where some of the best player available conversation you see out there on Twitter and stuff gets kind of funny when you start sitting down and doing this stuff. It's like, they're not taking a freaking linebacker there.
Yeah, there's no way.
They're not even going to consider it. So we're going to sit down and actually talk through the situationality of, you know, at what point do the Bears start to consider a cornerback if Cam Hart's there in the third round? You know, like that's, yeah, those are the types of questions that we're going to start having of like, there is a breaking point for most of these positions and we need to find where it is.
Yep. Well put, dude. And then from there, after that, it'll be the GM episodes and all the scouts are going to get to convince people like myself, because I was a little involved in the scouting process, but not nearly as deep as guys like Quentin and Steve and others in this process. Those are going to be fun as well. And those will lead up to the draft, correct, Q? That'll right. pretty much lead us into the draft.
Yeah, and we'll have – those are to be specific about what we're doing there. We're going to have guest appearances on the show to put on their Ryan Poles hat, say, you are the Bears GM. We are your scouts. We're going to take you through a draft. We're going to be in your ear the whole time saying, you got to take this guy. We're pounding the table for this guy. While another scout sitting across the table or across the Zoom or the stream yard from you saying, you want to take that guy? No, no, no. And so it'll be fun. It'll be a good time. We're going to be going through prospects and, you know, bearing our souls for the guys that we think should be picked there and giving our case.
Yeah, that one's going to be fun. I'm very much excited for those. Those are probably going to lead to a lot of really memorable sound bites, to say the least, from the Building the Board crew. So again, everybody, that's what you have to look forward to. And if you haven't been keeping up with it so far, be sure to check out the Building the Board, not only the podcast, but as well as all the draft profiles out there. Those can be found over at ontapsportsnet.com. You can find them in the Bears section, or again, you can type in the search keyword NFL draft, and all articles linked to the NFL draft will also come up and you can scroll through them there as well. So especially for those that have dynasty fantasy football implications like myself, I've been diving into those at a rapid pace, and I think you guys should as well. Incredible work by these guys here as a part of the Building the Board project. So do go check that out, and there's still plenty more to come. And that'll lead us all into late April when the Bears finally make a decision, and then we can all sit and take a deep breath and say, oh, okay, this is what's happening, this is what they have, and this is where they're going entering the 2024 season. Q, before we get out of here, reminding everyone, Bears on Tap, one of two Bears shows. Check out our friends over at Bears Nation Pod. They do a great job over there as well. Again, we'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode of Building the Board, but be sure to follow along at Bears on Tap on the socials, at Butkus Stats, the greatest account on Twitter. If you're not following already, I don't know what to freaking tell you. I've tried to tell you every single show. Be sure to follow all of our scouts as well. Those guys are doing an incredible job, and they're all incredible football minds, fun to talk the shop with, and fun to follow along with on the socials as well. You can follow me if you want to. You don't have to, at Loose on Tap on the socials as well. You know the drill, both baseball teams, Blackhawks, Bulls, we got it all here at ontapsportsnet.com. The OnTap Sports Network, go check out what's on tap in Chicago sports. Q, it was fun talking free agency with you. I think it'll be nice for all of us to get a well-deserved break during this chaotic offseason. And we'll be back with you guys in a couple of weeks talking more about building the board for the Chicago Bears as a draft leads up. If anything crazy happens and you want to learn more about a player that potentially signs with the Bears, or maybe a trade, maybe a Josh Sweat trade, again, on ontapsportsnet.com for all of that material. Q, it's always a pleasure, buddy. What do you say? We get out of here and bear down?
Bear down.